Hey, we're glad you're with us on your public radio station, which brings you Morning Edition day after day. You can continue following us throughout the day. You'll find us on social media at Morning Edition, at NPR Inskeep, at NPR Green, at NPR Montaigne. And of course, you can listen this afternoon to All Things Considered. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne.
Guarantee your seats today for the March 10th All-Day Ag Outlook meeting. It's at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. The cost is $25 and includes a continental breakfast and Beef House lunch. Keynoting the day is Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services, and we'll get a presentation on land values from Murray Wise. And we'll take all of your questions on soybean and corn futures, cash grain, and whatever else is on your mind. Call now for tickets at 217-333-7300. That's 217-333-7300. Good morning. This is Dave Dickey. Let's go ahead and see how futures are trading on this Wednesday morning. Hard red winter March wheat is 538, down 12 and 1 quarter. Soft March, 507 and a half, down 11 and a half. March corn, 377 and 3 quarters, down 3 and a half. July, 398 and 3 quarters, down 3 and a quarter. December, 408 and 3 quarters, down 2 and a half. March soybeans, 973, down 3 quarters. May, 980, down 1 and a quarter. July, 985 and a half, now 85 and 3 quarters, down 1 and a quarter. November, 962 and 3 quarters, unchanged. March soybean meal, 338.40, up 180. March soybean oil, 30.43, down 74. February live cattle, 153.40, up 57 and a half. January feeders, 211.95, up 117 and a half. And February lean hogs are 70.20. They're up 77 and one half.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson Group. She's in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Jackie.
Well, good morning, Dave.
It's one of those choppy, slow, quiet markets, but generally letting the air out slowly to the downside. Is it just because there's not a lot of fundamental news to talk about and the market is already drifting lower?
I think so, and I think some of it is related to your spec money that has been very, very active in the market for a long time. And, you know, the funds are extremely long. I don't think they care to get much longer unless they get some type of confirmation that there's a reason to. And so as long as that goes on, we just are probably going to continue to drift. When you look at March corn today, if we would close below the 100-day moving average, which we're just sitting on it right now, we've been below it today, that's the first time we would have closed below that level since October 28th. And if you look at March beans and March wheat, where they are today, if we close at these prices, we're going to be closing at prices we have not seen since October of 2014 also. And so, it's a circumstance where I don't think the CBO numbers that came out yesterday were, you know, you see a lot of people say that they really had a negative impact on the marketplace. Hard for me to feel that way when I see them, 90.9 million acres of corn goes all the way out for as long as they project. I think it's just a starting point is all it is, and it's the same thing on the beans. But I do believe that what we're hearing from farmers is that we may not lose as many corn acres as we thought we were going to. And the reality is they're sitting on one giant pile of 2014 corn.
Right. There's a lot of ownership among producers still, probably more than the usual for this time of year, and it still has to be priced to market. So what does that mean for going forward into July?
Well, I think, what I've been talking with people about a great deal is that we have extraordinarily good basis prices right now. And so, you know, if they're thinking that they want to hang on for a higher price, why don't you take advantage of this basis and make the sale, finish your storage costs, cut off your interest prices, and just take a fixed risk position in a call option if you're convinced that we're going to go higher and say goodbye. Because the reality for July, what that would mean is, you know, by then, we're going to have a lot of farmers who are going to definitely need to be moving corn. And what happens to basis when that happens? And, you know, if we are unfortunate enough that we actually have some reason for futures to be a lot lower, and then basis gets even wider, it's worse, you know. So I think when you look at managing risk, you have to be taking into account the, you know, these basis prices. I'm even hearing plus basis in some areas just because farmers aren't selling.
We got word that a key waterway in Sao Paulo State down in South America is not going to open in time for the beginning of harvest season down there. It's a big waterway. It's 2.5 million bushels of corn and beans that primarily come from Goiás and Mato Grosso that are now going to probably have to be trucked because there is no timetable for reopening that waterway. They're hoping they could do it with by shutting down some hydroelectric electric plants. A lot of the electricity down there comes from water, but they don't have the permissions to do it, and so it is kind of a mess. And I wonder what the difference between using the waterway and trucking transportation adds to the cost to end user.
Oh, it's amazing. Well, there's so many things that it adds to the cost because, you know, they now have tolls on their roads besides. And so I would have to guess that you're probably looking at, depending upon the distance, I can tell you the distance. I know from the southern tip of Mato Grosso to get down to the port of Paranaguá is about $1.50 a bushel just in fees alone. And so, you know, that this is a serious, serious situation that they've got going on here. And so, you know, it's going to be tough for them to get the okay to cut back on any electricity because well, from 2006 when we were down there, the electricity goes right across the farms above it, but it doesn't come down to the farms. A lot of them have to produce their own electric. It goes to the major cities. And so you tell me the major cities are going to say, oh, it's okay, shut our power down so that these guys can move their corn and beans? I don't think so. And so this is going to be something that is going to be a continuing issue that's going to go on. Did you see this morning that the EPA ruled that Argentina soy oil is now eligible to be used for RINs?
Yes.
I was surprised by that, but you know, just exactly what the impact is going to be on that is another question. I know soy oil is not reacting very positively to it. It's going to be I think that the moving forward here, I've just been waiting for the EIA report to come out because I expect that the ethanol stocks are going to increase again. And, you know, this is not helping us any with these crude oil prices continuing to be this low. And I guess I thought maybe when the king in Saudi Arabia died that maybe we would see them come in and say, the new guy would come in and say, well, you know, we're going to cut production or we're going to be in favor of cutting production. But it doesn't seem to be like that, at least that's not the reaction that's going on. And so our concern is, can we continue to produce ethanol at the levels that we've been at to consume the amount of corn that we're figuring and take that one step further and then say, do we really need to have a fight for corn acres, perhaps? We may, by the time we get that far, we may find that if our demand isn't there for the ethanol side of things, we may not have to fight for all those extra corn acres that people keep expecting it to happen. And so, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out.
A lot of people are now beginning to think that maybe crude oil prices will remain depressed for longer than June when the OPEC meets again to talk among themselves about production levels for the second half of the year. That because you don't turn it on and off like a spigot. And so if oil prices were to remain fairly depressed in the second half of the year, what would it imply for grains?
Well, it certainly wouldn't be good, I can tell you that much. And you know, how can they not be depressed in some respects when you know that there are new wells that are coming on out in the Gulf? And so even if the frackers cut back, these guys in the Gulf have to pay their debt. They're going to have to pump whether they want to or not. And so the key will be if OPEC reduces production, and I'd be really surprised if they do it. But that would be a negative for grain. There's no question about it because it would imply that we'd see more use of RINs and less production, you know, of actual ethanol, which implies less corn use. And so, you know, there's this crude oil situation good in one respect from the standpoint that it's more disposable cash for us and for the rest of the world because it's priced in U.S. dollars and the dollar's high. So anyway, you have a great day.
Thank you, Jackie.
Thanks, Dave. Take care.
Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group, and she is in Champaign, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace, March corn, 378.5 down 2 3/4. July, 394 down 3. December, 409.25 down 2. March soybeans, 972.75 down 1. July, 985.25 down 1 3/4. And November, 962 down 3/4. March soybean meal, 338.20, now 30 up 170. March soybean oil, 30.44 down 75. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It is now 10 o'clock Central Time.